Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this message would be a blessing to you.
I am so grateful to be able to talk to you today. It is a blessing to me. What's with the yellow? Is it the team colors? I didn't get that memo.
That's good, man.
I do approach this with fear and trembling, and I'm so grateful to be able to speak to you today. And I tell the pastors every once in a while that that there comes a time I don't need to be doing this. And I hope that we have the good sense to know when that is, and we'll stop it. But when you get my age, you're just happy to be anywhere. You know, you're tickled. But I do come here sort of like, how many of you know Minnie Pearl? Do anybody remember? Oh, look at you guys. Look at you guys, Minnie Pearl. So I grew up with the radio on the kitchen counter, and she, howdy. I'm so proud to be here. And that's the way she started out, you know. And I didn't know it. Somebody reminded me that she was really on the cutting edge of women being in entertainment and that kind of thing. But I really do feel that way. I'm just so thankful to be able to speak to you. Now, the first group of people were, they really did a good job in here. I sound like the rooster that rolled an ostrich egg into the hen house. And he says, girls, I don't want to complain, but I want to show you what they're doing elsewhere. So we had a great service, and I hope that we do that. And so I'm asked to speak, and I have to find something to speak on. And I thought what I'd talk to you guys about today is a continuation of what I've been preaching, but also what I personally have been wrestling with for some time now. And that is, what is God really up to in our lives? What is it? Why would he be messing with us at all? Why would he be concerned? Sounds like one of the Psalms, you know, what is man that thou art mindful of him and son of man? Okay, it's sort of that's the kind of quandary that I've been in, and some really surprising things have come out of that for me. None of them bad, but just surprising for me. So I entitled this sermon, Where You Want to Be. And there are just some places that we want to be and some places we don't want to be, you know. Like miserable is not a place I want to be. There are people that like misery, and so we call them miserable. So, we'll work on that. But where do you want to be? In Genesis, the third chapter, the first question that God raises with humanity is, "Where are you?" And of course, we know that man was out of place there. The human were out of place. They were created to walk in the cool of the evening with God, and now here they find themselves hidden in the bushes of the garden. But where do you want to be? I'm going to try to talk about where I know that you want to be. And before we get there, did you ever have a feeling you just need to get yourself off your own hands? Huh? Yeah, you know, I need to finish this up so I can move on to something good, okay? And so Jesus, in the 13th chapter of John, says that he knew where he came from. See? Okay. That settles the eternity past. He knew where he came from. And that he knew where he was going. So all the important eternal issues of life was solved for him. He knew he come from the Father, and he was going back to the Father. So those ultimate questions of life have been settled for Jesus. And because they were settled for Jesus, he gets up from the dinner and puts a towel about his waist and begins to wash the feet of the disciples. So he goes from knowing where he come from and knowing where he's going to being able to serve. You see, he got himself off his hands. He doesn't have to worry about that anymore. So when you settle those questions, now when I was a young man and I made a decision for Jesus Christ, okay, there are several of them I made. The first one was to be saved, okay? But I was so insecure with myself that so what I did is, not this Bible here, it was old tattered old Bible. I wrote in the Bible the date that I did it and what I did. And so whenever I would second guess myself and I'm insecure, I could say, oh no, I actually did do that. I actually did trust Jesus Christ the best I could. And that's what we need to do, is to settle some questions. You know, like in the Old Testament, they set up maybe a few stones as a monument, you know, to mark that spot and how they've come forward, you know. And so just kind of get yourself off your hands, if you don't mind. So to settle those important questions of life, settle those and get them out there. Now, in Philippians 4, Paul talks about his mindset there. He said he had learned to be content. And actually, my wife was the one that really turned me on to this text about being content. Boy, isn't that a great place to be? Paul says he had learned the secret of contentment. And so I'm saying to you that there is a state of mind in which there is peace. I don't know if some of you have experienced a peace that passes understanding in your life. If you haven't, I hope you do. Because it just quiets your anxiety in a very anxious place. And you have a change. And that's what we're looking for today, is where you want to be. Now, in Romans, the 12th chapter, this was a text I preached on last time I preached. When I preached last time, I tried to talk about don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Try to, you know, to home in on that. Now, we're going to go a little step further today and look at the last sentence of that passage there. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. That's what we want. Okay, we want to be able to know what God's will is for us. And also, when you do that, look at what happens. We realize that it is good, it is pleasing, and it is perfect. Now, God's will for me is not perfect for you. God's will for you is not perfect for me. But it's perfect nonetheless. And so that's what we want to do. We want to be at a place in which we understand God's will, something, not all of it. You can't understand all of it, okay? But something of God's will, and that you're in the stream of his will, and it will do wonders for your life, especially for your mental and spiritual health. And we know that this is possible in the parables of Jesus. In Matthew 25, in that passage, this is about the talents, the parable of talents, where you give, I think it's 5 talents and then 2 talents and then 1 talent. The guy with the 1 talent, he failed the test altogether because he was afraid of the master. That's what he said. He was afraid of the master. So he hid it, which was normal to hide stuff in your tent, you know. And he hid it there. Yeah. But now the other guys, the one that had 5, he made 5 out of that. And here's what the master says, which we hear God in this, okay. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then again, for the guy that had 2, who had made 2, you hear it again. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's where we want to be. We want to be in that place in which we understand something of God's will for our life, and also that we're in the stream. That is, we're in that will. And then when we get there, if you're not there yet, you can get there. When we get there, we'll know that it is what? It's good. And we'll know what? Pleasing. And then we realize it is perfect. It just shouldn't be any other way. And amen. Amen. So I was talking to you today about that, where you want to be. You want to be in that place. Amen. By the way, that did feel good when I just did it right there. Maybe it's over here. Oh, I got it. Okay. Now, number one, are you ready? Learn to say yes to life. I know it sounds simple, and it is, but for some it's not so simple. I raised 3 kids. Well, I shouldn't say that. Joan raised them. We had them at the house a lot. I should. They were. And I don't know if you've noticed the terrible twos or not. You know, but kids go, and they should go through that. Now, it's very healthy for them psychologically. And spiritually, they need to tell the world, I'm here, and I'm not you. And that's what they do. And it's fine. But it's so ugly on a 4-year-old. I mean, a 40-year-old. It's ugly. It should not be, you know. Can I help you into the truck? No! Would you like to have an ice cream? No! And they're in the terrible twos. Well, some people never leave it. That's where they stay. They stay in the terrible twos. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to stay there. We don't want to have the default program of no. We want to be able, when life comes by, once we say yes. In Luke, by the way, I got so many Luke texts in this, and I'm thinking, why so many? Well, that's what I'm studying now. So that's, it just comes out. Yeah, exactly. It just comes out. So in Luke 5, Jesus, we don't understand how deep his relationship with these 4 guys are. We don't have all that information. But here comes Jesus, and a picture of him walking. You just have it in your mind. He's kind of walking along the lake there, and he says to them, come follow me. And they do. But there's a resistance in there. And Simon Peter says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Well, he got that right. But I'm not sure that the subject was brought up in the right spot, because Jesus doesn't speak to his sin. Jesus speaks to his fears and tells him, "Fear not, for I'm going to make you fishers of men." You know what I'm talking about. See, Jesus didn't speak to his sin, because that's easy for us to talk about. We all know we're sinners. Amen. Willing to confess that at a heartbeat. But that wasn't what was hindering. What was hindering them is that fear, that underlying fear. Is there another place besides being a fisherman here? And they weren't doing too good anyway. If you remember, they fished all night and didn't catch anything. You know, I know there's one guy in the group, "I can't wait to get away from my father in this business." I know there was a guy that would say, all I'm saying is, sometimes it's the right call for you and you know it down deep. And I can see out there them hunger, eager faces wanting to do something with your life and do something of value and do something of meaning, and following Jesus is just that. I noticed in that song, Jason, that you were singing that Jesus is life. And that's exactly what happened on that seashore there. Life came walking by, and you can choose to join it. You see that? Yes, I'm glad. Oh, yeah, it's amen, amen, amen. Well, don't you miss the boat. Don't you miss the boat. And you say yes to life whenever it comes by. James and John and Simon and Andrew, they did just exactly that. And another picture of Jesus doing this, which I just absolutely love, and there's a lot of drama behind it in the text, because Jesus is going to be crucified. He's going up to Jerusalem, and he's leaving, and he's headed up to Jerusalem where he's going to be crucified. And he's walking through Jericho, and he's just about to get through Jericho, and he looks up, and there's a guy up a tree. His name, we find out, is Zacchaeus. I love this story. Talk about it all the time because it just suits me to a T. And Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today." Isn't that what the song says? "Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to the house today." Jesus invites himself to dinner at the guy's house. And guess what Zacchaeus did about that? He got down from the tree and received him with great joy. And the joy and generosity of this man began to flow. And we'll talk about that hopefully a little later in this sermon. But he did it with such joy and generosity, he received Jesus. And I imagine that was quite a brunch that they had together. He got life because Jesus was there, and it caused him great joy. We'll come back to that. Is joy here anyplace? Oh, there she is. There she is. There she is. You know, it's so much fun. I don't mean to embarrass you, okay, but I just enjoy. Well, I like people, okay? So now that I've got to know her, and she really helped my wife out at the hospital and this and that. Now, when I shake her hand, I say, "You bring joy to my life." Yeah. Oh, amen, amen, amen. Okay, but that was Zacchaeus. He was just happy to be here. And now Jesus made it real happy. You know, he's an outcast, but not to Jesus. He didn't fit in any place else. He had to be up a tree. He didn't fit in any place else except with Jesus. Amen. Don't miss life when it comes by. Remember, learn to say yes to life. Now let's talk about a negative thing, okay? Well, I shouldn't say negative. Let's talk about things that aren't quite as much fun, okay? The second step is you got to get used to the pain. Pain is not your enemy. Pain can be your friend. It's been, it's been about a year now. I don't know if some of you know that Tim started a workout program on Saturday mornings on the beach at 7:30 in the morning. And I added to it, I said, come and work out like a Navy SEAL. Because when he said that, and Aaron helped him, okay? Aaron was here for the earlier service. So now just think about that. Okay, we got Tim's going to help you try to get yourself in shape. Amen? Yes, Lord. Yeah. I want to be in the best shape I can be. Amen? Okay, so I'm going to work out with the, and you should see these guys. Man, they're so cutting. I'm telling you, you got a line. Oh, yeah, they're beautiful. Yeah, just beautiful workout, you know, monsters, you know. Well, I said, I want to be like that. So I show up to work out on the beach, and he gives this workout. You know, I think he's Marine. Yeah. So we get this workout. Now, how silly. Just think about this for a minute. How silly it would be for me to tell him Sunday morning that I'm sore to complain about it. Somebody else told me that the definition of that pain is weakness leaving the body. I'm just telling you, and what happens to pain then when you realize this? Pain is a gentle reminder that I've been someplace. It's not always your enemy. That's what I want to say. And you got to get used to the pain. My son had to have both hips replaced. Well, before he did that, he'd complain to me on the phone about how much his hips hurt. And finally, I just got to where I said, you know, pain will drive you in. And guess what? Wasn't terribly long. Pain drove him in. It just got to be too much for him, and he got his hips fixed. He's doing just great with them. Thank God that people can do such things. But all I'm trying to say is pain is not your enemy. And to be alive, pain is the cost of living. Yeah, years ago, any movie buffs in here? I'm not good at it, but I love movies. I just love movies, okay? Years ago, I saw a movie. I think it was back in the 60s. I know that's a long time ago. I'm showing my date here, okay? I think it was Savage Innocence. Yeah, I think that's what it was. Savage and Anthony Quinn played a Eskimo. Here's the deal. The Eskimo is arrested by the mounting police for whatever. Okay, and they're going across ice floes, and the mounted police is taking him in, but the Mountie falls into the water with his hands. And if you're familiar with what happens to you then and under those conditions is you're almost sure to lose those hands, at least fingers. You're almost sure to lose those, okay, to frostbite. Anthony Quinn, understanding, this is a little gruesome, by the way, a little gruesome, get used. Anthony Quinn grabs one of the dogs, slices open, and puts his hands inside the dog. Oh, that's played out in several movies, by the way. Well, the Mountie has his hands in there. Well, sometimes life gets gruesome. And you have to do things you don't even think you're capable of. But anyway, so the Mountie responds in a few moments. Oh, my hands hurt so bad. And if you've ever been that cold before and warmed them up a little too fast, which I have, I understand that pain. I understand that pain. Anthony Quinn, the wise Eskimo, says, good, they're still alive. And I learned that lesson. I learned that lesson right there so many years ago. Pain may be the evidence that you're actually alive. Because in death, there is no pain. Amen. Amen. All right, so pain is just a part of life. I'll tell you one other story, okay? In the content, I've been watching Band of Brothers. I'm just seeing it for the first time, okay? So don't spoil it for me. And they just found the concentration camps, and you can imagine how ugly that was. And the torture of just being in the camp itself. Viktor Frankl lost his family and all of his family in that. Somehow he survived. And out of that terrible, terrible situation come a book called Man's Search for Meaning. I don't know if you know that book or not, but it's very, very popular, been read by many, many people and helped so many people. But the point I'm saying is out of that pain and that suffering came this blessing, and that is that book. He did very well for himself after that. Okay? So you just have to accept pain as part of living. Matter of fact, it's very much a proof that you are still alive. Somebody might say that their grief is overwhelming. I said, well, that's because your relationship was that deep. Okay? You see that? Okay. All right, now, we're ready for the third one? Okay, number one is yes to life. Thank you for the help. I appreciate it. I need it all I can get. And the second one is pain, and the third one is learn to celebrate. Very often this is hard for Christians to do this. I understand that. I come from a Baptist background, and many of those Baptists are vaccinated in pickle juice. They're just sour and dour. Yeah. Amen. We got an amen. But that's not us, is it? You learn to celebrate. So the 15th chapter of the book of Luke is devoted to lost things. You have the lost sheep. Many of you will put this together now. Lost sheep, lost coin, and then the lost son. And so the first one, the lost sheep, there's 90 and 9 are there and one is missing. Okay, so that's 1%. We know that, okay? But the shepherd goes after it anyway, okay? And finds it and brings it home. But his joy is too much for him to celebrate. So he has to get his neighbors to come over and help him to celebrate. Now, that's real celebration. When you are so happy, you can't do it all on your own. You'll share the happiness with other people. Yes. Thank you. I'm glad you're getting this. Amen. Amen. Well, we're all happy. He's got his sheep. Okay. Now, the woman lost a coin. It's 1 out of 10, so you got 10% loss there. And she's looking for it. I just want to remind you that the coin, no matter how long that coin lays in the lint underneath the bed, has not changed in value. Boy, when I got that one, I thought, it, you know what else it hasn't changed in? It's identifying marks. Now, God created you, and you may be under the bed in the lint, but God hasn't forgotten you, and you have not changed in value to Him. You get this? You have identifying marks on you from create. Thank you. From creation that will identify you as being God's child and of your value. And then the lost son, which of course is a culmination of these lost things, you got to love him because he's making the right decisions, okay? But he's got this sermon that he's going to read to his daddy when he gets over there. I've been such a sinner. I failed you. I failed my family. And the list goes on. Well, he's right. But that's not the point. Point is, his father don't even listen to this silly boy. Father said, hey, go get a ring for his finger and shoes for his feet. And by the way, he's not dressed well enough for this celebration. Get him a robe and put on him too. Thank you, because we're going to celebrate. And then the kicker of the story is the father, who is this loving father, goes out to the older brother and asks him, won't you come in and celebrate? And what does he do? He refuses. All he's going to do is complain about the father being a stingy person, which is further from the truth than anything. But anyway, he refused. I'm going to tell you right now, if you refuse any chance whatsoever you have of celebrating, you got to ask God to forgive you for that. Just stop that. My grandson graduated the police academy, and we were over there to have a graduation party, and one of his friends was there. So we had two of them there. Now, they both have a job now with the Volusia County Sheriff's Office, okay, because they graduated and fine, everything's fine, and so they go on to get a job. My son-in-law says, let's take some time to celebrate the distance you two have come. A year and a half ago, you were uneducated as far as this job is concerned. All right? You got to go to school. You were unemployed. And now look where you're at today. Amen. You get that?
Amen.
It is good for you to take notice of that every once in a while in your life and celebrate your accomplishments. And if you can't find anything to praise yourself about or to celebrate, come to me. I will help you. Because if you're happy, I can be happy. Right along with you. If you ever need somebody to celebrate and you can't find anybody else, I'm in for the job. This is my field. But you get that. I'm gonna leave with this, okay? You know about being saved, get yourself off your hands. You know about trusting God for your future, get yourself off your hands, and then go to work where you are. Don't miss the boat. Okay, come and join the party. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Barry. So if you haven't been to Wednesday night Bible study, get a glimpse of what you're in for. So come on out. You know, I had the privilege of sitting through both services, and the same thing has kind of hit me twice. It's like, you know, look at the person on your left and look at the person on your right. You're not in competition with them. There's enough blessings to go around. There's enough to celebrate for all of us. And I can tell you from my own life, and I've had some people speak this into me, if you're going through a tough time, the Bible says you can have joy in that. And when you're going through a tough time, one of the greatest ways to have joy is celebrate others. If you can't find anything in your own life to celebrate right now, celebrate other people. And again, Barry will help you find it if you can't find anything to celebrate. But if we really lift our eyes up and we look, we don't have to look very far to find something to celebrate. So, Father, thank you today that we can celebrate you. Father, thank you that you have put those marks on us. Thank you that we have value in your eyes. Thank you that it was so much value that you sent your son to the cross to die for us. And Father, I know there are in the room like this or people watching online that there may be people that have never had the occasion to celebrate giving their life to you. And we don't want to overlook that because that's the greatest thing that we could ever celebrate. We know when someone gives their life to you that there's a party in heaven. And we need to have a party down here on earth too. So if you've never taken that step to give your life to Jesus, so there's a giving and a taking. You give yourself to him, but you accept what he's done for you. You know, it's Easter, we've just celebrated the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you get the fact that we get to celebrate that the same power that overcame death is available to help you live out your life every day? To walk with God in the purpose he has for you, in the big things, in the little things. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, accepted the gift of salvation, it's pretty simple, really. God didn't make it complicated. It's just, Father, thank you for loving me. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. Would you forgive me for what I've done wrong? I accept what Jesus did on the cross to me, for me to pay for my sins. Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord. If you have those thoughts and share those with God, and they it just comes from inside. It's not about fancy words, but if you say that prayer and if you mean that, there's a party going on into heaven like we've never seen. We'll get to see it one day, but we haven't seen it yet. And then share it with someone. Write it on your Connect card. Come up after the service and share it with Barry or one of the other leaders that'll be sticking around. And just know that that's the start of a great journey. But also, if you find yourself as a 40-year-old, two-year toddler, still throwing toys, still upset because life doesn't go your way, I would encourage you to take this opportunity. Just allow Jesus to be fully Lord of your life. You may have said what we call a sinner's prayer, or you may have accepted Jesus years ago, but you may have drifted away. And again, if you came from a Baptist background, it may be called backsliding or whatever you want to call it. But you don't have that relationship with Jesus that you know you can have. It's not because he's gone anywhere. He's still searching for you. And you get to come back to him. I would encourage you, if that's where you are today, please don't leave this place without making the decision to come back to him. So, Father, your love and your goodness are so precious. Help us to have life. Help us to seek life that's available through you. Help us to understand that in the pain that we're growing, and it helps us to realize that we're not dead, we are alive. And then help us to celebrate the things in our lives and in the lives of people around us. In Jesus' name. So glad everyone's here. Remember, church is not over. There's still refreshments and coffee. Make sure you speak to someone and encourage them today. Maybe ask them, is there anything in your life that we can celebrate? Bless you guys.